Gospel, the 24th chapter. You find that on page 1034 if you have a King James Scofield Bible. Matthew chapter 24 and verse 42. Watch therefore, for ye know not what hour your Lord doth come. I want to talk to you this morning on the subject, the imminent return of Jesus Christ. Let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, now we come to a very important part of this service. We've had such good music and good fellowship. And now we come to the preaching of your word. And I ask once again that you would bind Satan from our minds and from our midst and help us to concentrate solely upon your word. Save those who may be lost, reclaim those who may be backslidden, and do a work in everybody's heart in these next few minutes. And I'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. You need not turn in your Bibles. There's an insert in your Bible with all the scriptures that I'll be using this morning, and we'll get through all of them in about 20, 25 minutes. So I'll tell you when you can turn to your Bibles, but not right away. I'm going to read several verses that shows us the return of Christ is imminent. I want to reread again verse 42 of Matthew 24. Watch therefore, for ye know not what hour your Lord doth come. Mark 13:35. Watch therefore, for ye know not when the master of the house cometh, at even or at midnight, or at the cock crowing, or in the morning. Luke 12:40. Be ye therefore ready also, for the Son of Man cometh at an hour when ye think not. Romans 8:19. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. Romans 8:23. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. 1 Corinthians 1:7. So that ye come behind in no gift, waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Philippians 3:20, for our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Thessalonians 1:10, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. Titus 2:13, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. James 5:8, be ye also patient, establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. Revelation 16:15, behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is he that watcheth. I want to press one great truth in this message this morning, and that is the imminency of Christ's coming. This is emphasized in many portions of the Word of God, several now we've just looked at. And the Lord Jesus tells us that we should be ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. At any moment, at any hour, he may come. What exhortation does the Bible give through this teaching? The Bible says, be ye also ready. That means that the lost sinner should come to Christ for salvation and not put it off and be ready for the return of his Lord. When we say his coming is imminent, we mean that it could happen at any moment. Webster's dictionary tells us that imminent means likely to happen without delay or close at hand. The coming of the Lord Jesus Christ is an imminent second coming. It may happen at any moment. I cannot think of any person who would not be benefited by an understanding of the second coming of Christ. This is for the young person as well as the aged. This is for the businessman as well as the housewife. This is for the wealthy as well as the poor. This is for the sick and the healthy. I have tried to think of the people who would be benefited by a message on the second coming of Christ. It's a message for those who have failed in their Christian activities and duties. The truth of Christ's coming should cause that person to get back to his duties and move forward and do still even more for the Savior. This is a message for the money-mad Christian. Christ is coming, and dear folks, we're going to leave it all behind when he comes. What if you should gain all the wealth of the world and lose your own soul? Would it be worth it? I think not. It is a message for the worldly carnal Christian. we are going to give an account of what we did or did not do for the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a message for those who have an unconcerned attitude, the one who cares more for this life than caring about the next life. It's a message for the sick. Christ is coming again. And when he comes, the dead in Christ will be raised and the living are going to be changed. And we shall be caught up into the very presence of the Lord Jesus himself. I mentioned a moment ago in Philippians chapter 3 and verse 20, where it speaks of our citizenship being in heaven and we are looking for the Lord Jesus Christ. Then Paul adds these words, who shall change our vile or our sick bodies that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, where according to the working whereby he is able to subdue all things unto himself. This is a message for the discouraged person. Your redemption draweth nigh. Have faith in God and keep looking up. This is a message for the sorrowing one. How many blessed verses are given to us containing comfort for those in sorrow? In John chapter 14, Jesus tells us about the Father's house of many mansions. He told his disciples that he was going to make a place ready for them. And then he said, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. This is a message for the dying. Paul, in the last hour of his life, said that he was ready to be offered, and the time of his departure was at hand. He said, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Then the apostle gives us a special word that tells us of his anticipation of the coming of the Lord Jesus. Now you can take your Bibles and turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4. You'll find that on page 1281 if you have a Scofield Bible. 1281, 2 Timothy chapter 4, and look with me at verse number 8. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 8, page 1281. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all of them also that love his appearing. Yes, dear folks, Christ is coming again, and his coming is imminent. Now then, let's look at the imminency of his coming. It calls for alertness. Now take your Bibles and turn to Romans chapter 13, please. Romans chapter 13, page 1207 in your King James Scofield Bible. Romans 13, page 1207. And follow along as I begin reading in verse number 11 of Romans 13. And that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make provision, not provision, for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Now go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, page 1269. Page 1269, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. I'm going to begin reading in verse number 1 and following. 1 Thessalonians 5, page 1269, verse 1. But of the times and the seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you, for yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction coming upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness that that day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are all the children of God and the children of the day. Verse 8, but let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet the hope of salvation. In these portions of the Word of God, the Apostle Paul is calling for alertness on the part of the people of God. We are faced with three lamentable conditions in our day and time. First of all, we are faced with the dullness of man to spiritual truth. We are well aware of the fact that the natural man, the lost man, the unsaved man, is dull to spiritual truth. Too often, he is carnally minded. He does not read his Bible. He does not pray believingly. He does not engage in the work of Christ in the service that God wants him to be involved in. Secondly, we are faced with the dullness of man to spiritual dangers. He does not see the pitfalls of life. Sin has been in this world ever since the Garden of Eden. There's no change in sin. It has always been the same. Some people even suggest that young people are discovering the certain things today that never known in the past, something brand new. I got news for you. The sin of our day is the same as it was in Sodom and Gomorrah hundreds of years ago. Many years ago, when I was around 13, 14 years of age, we went up to Hammond to visit my grandparents and several of my mother's brothers who lived and their families who lived in that area. My Uncle Gene was still living at home with his parents, and that's where we stayed when we were there at my grandparents'. And he was about 18, 19, 20 years of age. I don't quite remember. One evening he said to me, "Jim, come with me. I want to show you something." We got into his car and we drove a few blocks away over to Calumet City. It was called Sin City in those days. We drove up and down a few streets and every building consisted of a tavern, a nightclub, a burlesque show. Prostitutes were all over the place. He parked the car and he said, "Come and follow me." He led me into one of those nightclubs. They let us in. I suppose they thought I was a lot older than what I was. What I saw in that hell house embarrassed me to death. No longer had we gotten in there than one of the ladies, I'm assuming a prostitute, came up to me and she said, "Hi, handsome. Can I buy you a drink?" Well, she had the first part right. And I said to my Uncle Gene, "Let's get out of here and let's get out of here quickly." And I started running and I didn't stop and I didn't turn around. The wickedness of Sin City is the same as it has ever been. Men are still men and sin is still sin. Men and women engage in the sin. They go away from God. There's nothing new. There's nothing revolutionary about it. It's the same old wickedness as always has been. Man is dull to his spiritual danger. Then thirdly, we are faced with the dullness of man to prophesied events. If you tell people that in this world, that Christ is coming, many will just laugh at you. They think that you're a foolish fanatic. But the truth of the matter is, man is simply dull to that which has been promised in the Word of God. The exhortation of the Scriptures is be alert, be on your watch, be on your toes, be ready for His coming. First of all, be aware of all that Christ has done for you. He has saved your soul through faith in His name. He has shed His blood that you might have the forgiveness of sins. Secondly, be aware of the greatness of the event of the future, the coming of Christ. Who can measure the importance of His coming? Men may try to minimize the first coming of Christ. Now they're trying to do the very same thing regarding the second coming of Christ. But this is not new. It's forever been this way. It was true in the first century. Turn in your Bibles with me to 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3. That'll be on page 1319 of your King James Scofield Bible. 2 Peter chapter 3, page 1319. Look at verse number 3. And Peter said, "Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lusts." It is indicated here that there were scoffers in that day and there are scoffers in our day. We must be aware of the events that's going to take place when Christ comes. Our Savior is coming. What's going to happen? The dead in Christ shall be raised from the graves. The living will be changed. There will be a great reunion. His coming will bring us to the judgment seat. We are all going to be judged, not for our salvation, but for our works and service. The Bible says, "There is therefore now no condemnation, no judgment to them which are in Christ Jesus." By faith in the Lord Jesus, our salvation is secure. It is as secure as God Himself. But when we come to the judgment seat, we shall give an account of ourselves and our works will be judged. Be aware, dear folks, that day you will face the Son of God. Be aware, dear folks, you will face Him. We anticipate seeing certain people and certain faces. Long before I ever saw the beautiful Niagara Falls, I heard a lot about it. I read a lot about it. I seen a lot of pictures about it. But when I stood there that day and looked at those falls, all of these didn't do it justice at all. I could see face to looking at those falls. I could see the magnificent beauty of those falls and the power of those falls. What do you think it's going to be like when we see our Lord Jesus face to face? Is there any way for us to comprehend how great it's going to be when we stand before the Lord? Yet there may be some shame when you stand there because you've not given him your very best. Oh, yes, you'll see him, but the judgment seat will bring sorrow because you've not given him your best. Then after we see our Savior, there will follow the events as is prophesied in the Bible. There will be the marriage supper of the Lamb. Then we shall come with him as he returns to the second phase of his coming when he comes to this earth. We shall see him and be with him in the great battle of Armageddon, which I believe is shaping up in our world at this present time. And then it's going to be the judgment of the nations of the world, and we'll be there for that. And then we're going to reign with our Lord for 1,000 years upon this earth. And then with our Savior, we will enter into the new heaven and the new earth. Yes, dear folks, the imminency of his coming calls for awareness. Thirdly, the imminency of his coming calls for activity. We must engage in the work that he's left us to do. This is aptly covered in the Great Commission. We are told to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. We must be busy. We must be active in doing the tasks that he's given us to do. I've heard about some preachers. They say they believe the same way we do. They believe in the premillennial imminent return of Jesus Christ, but they never preach it. They say it destroys the interest of people in the work of missions and in soul winning. I don't believe that's true. I believe it will cause people to get involved in the Lord's ministry at home and abroad. Stay active, because one day your works will be brought before the judgment seat. Turning your Bibles with me now, please, to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, that's on page 1214. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, page 1214. I'm going to begin reading in verse number 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, beginning in verse 13 and following. Every man's work shall be manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide which he have built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be born, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire or by the skin of his teeth. Secondly, be active in service that you might glorify him. This should mean more to us than we could ever express in words. Christ is our Savior. Christ is our Lord. Christ is our Master. Christ is our King. By every means, we should try to glorify his name. Jesus tells us in John chapter 17 that when he walked upon this earth, he glorified the Father. He said, I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the works that thou gavest me to do. The entire portion indicates that we must be busy in bringing glory to our Heavenly Father and to our Savior by the activities of our lives. Thirdly, be active that you might bring lost souls to the Lord Jesus Christ. This is our main task. We must not fail. Are you ready for his coming? Are you prepared to stand before him? Is your life counting for him? In the time we have left, let us be busy. We may have a few hours left. We may have a few days. We may have a few weeks. We may have a few years. We don't know. But in the time that we have, we must be busy. Christ is coming. All of us make plans. We say we're going to do this thing or the other thing. We're going to go to this place or the other place. But there are hundreds of things that could change your plans. But God's plans never changes. He tells us about certain things that's going to take place, and dear folks, they will. He has given us his announcement of the coming of the Savior, and Christ is coming. Are you ready for his coming? It's imminent. He may come before we leave this building this morning. Watch, be alert, for you know not when your Lord doth come. Let's bow in prayer together. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for the truths of your word. We thank you that the coming of Christ is imminent. Oh, we need to realize that. We need to realize that in our daily lives, that he could come at any moment. But there will come a time that he will come and will not delay his coming. And there'll be a lot of people, there'll be a lot of Christians who'll be ashamed before him when he comes because they've not been living for him as they should. And oh, for those who are without Christ, what an awful, awful future they face. I pray, Father, there'll not be one in this auditorium that will leave without knowing Christ as their Savior and Lord. Bless the invitation as only you can do. In Jesus' name, amen.